Well, good morning, family, for Sunday, January the 24th, 2021. What is all this white stuff? I haven't seen this much snow in about 10 years, and I hope you're able to dig out from everything. I wanted to just start this morning by giving you some announcements. First of all, just a reminder that we have prayer at the church every Friday night at 7 o'clock, and if you would like to join Jim and Grace, please let them know you're able to come. Also, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, or at noon, excuse me, we will be having a board meeting for those that are on the board. And our Zoom get-togethers with a devotional time are Monday and Thursday at 1 o'clock. If you're having trouble getting in on Zoom, call Jane, and she will help you with that. And also, we're considering an evening Zoom meeting, and if you'd like to be a part of that, please let me know directly. For birthdays, we want to wish Jonathan Reed a very happy birthday for January the 28th, and Robert and Jeff also have their birthday that day, and Bernice has her birthday on the 29th. So those are your birthday folks for this week. We don't have any anniversaries, and so praise. David is having some swelling in his feet and legs, and that he's praying that the Lord will use the doctor to give him some helpful solutions. Crystal is having some back and hip pain, and Suzanne is praying for her vision problems and other side effects as she comes off the steroids. And glad that her lab report came back for the blood work as normal. And for those that are trying to make appointments by phone, and those of you that are trying to get to other appointments, trust that you'll be able to get to everything you have to go to. Crystal wants to say hello to everybody, so hello from her to you. And Barb is very thankful, too, during this isolation for her friends. So, with that in mind, let's just take a moment and let's pray together. Father, as we thank you today for your love to us, for your incredible power, for your supervision of not only this earth, but the entire universe, thank you that you remind us of the perspective that we need to have, that in the midst of all the storms of life, we can be calm because we're in the center of your will. So, Father, bless each and every one, for those that have specific needs and are waiting results or need help and assistance, practically or spiritually, physically, emotionally, Lord, that they would be provided through your hand. And so bless each and every one of our church family and wherever they are this day, and bless them through this upcoming week, and may they have an opportunity to encourage each other as we continue to weather this time of isolation. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, hello again, friends, family, near and far, on this snowy day. We've had such a snowy weekend. Here we are on the 24th of January, three quarters of the way through the month. And just a reminder, if you want to be part of the Zoom get-togethers, the devotional times we're having, 1 o'clock on Monday and Thursday, please contact us and let us know that you'd like to be a part of that. And to those in our church family with anniversaries and birthdays, we just want to wish you a great week. I want to talk this morning on looking away to Jesus. It's a familiar phrase. Many of us know it. It's found in Hebrews chapter 1 or chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking away to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about you, but to me, looking away to Jesus is a paradox. I can't see him. In fact, you can't see them. I mean, if only we could see them. The irony in all of this is that the town of Capernaum in Jesus' day, more miracles were done in that town than any other town in the entire region of Israel. And even though the miracles that occurred were seen by probably the entire populace of Capernaum, they still failed to recognize who he was or believe him as the Son of God. And there was such unbelief in the midst of that, that Jesus even himself, and you can read this in Matthew 11, verses 23, that if the miracles had been done in Sodom that were done in Capernaum, there would be much more a belief structure and the absolute reality that the day of judgment is going to be far greater for a town of Capernaum that actually saw Jesus. And so, you know, when you and I kind of feel that we're in a reality is that we are living by faith. Faith that sees beyond what can't be seen by the human eye. And so we walk by faith. And the greatest link, I think, to walking by faith and looking away to Jesus is prayer. And prayer is so fundamental, we take it for granted, I think. And yet, Jesus, as our example, was a great prayer warrior. How many times do we read where he went up to the mountain to pray? He went alone to pray. He looked away to his heavenly Father through prayer. He prayed time and time again to the Father in heaven. Again, looking away to that heavenly Father that you and I love so much. He went off alone. Scripture says there were times he fell on his face. And there were times he prayed for just you and I. We read in John 11 in verse 41, so when they took away the stone where Lazarus was buried, Jesus simply lifted up his eyes and began to talk to the Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I wanted to read to you an incredible prayer that it's fascinating because we get an in-depth idea of just how Jesus was talking to the Father, and the reality is that this is, if you hear it, it's very down to earth. It's very, very matter of fact and very clear, and it's much like you and I could be praying. When Jesus had spoken the things, and this is the night he was betrayed, he simply said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and honor, magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and magnify you. You have granted him power and authority over all flesh. Now glorify him and give as he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. This is eternal life, that you may know the one true God, Jesus the Christ, whom you have sent. And now I've glorified you down here on earth by completing the work that you gave me. And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself. Restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. I've manifested your name to the people whom you've given your word, and now at last they know and understand that all you've given me belongs to you. What do you hear so far in this prayer? Jesus is just talking very commonly, in a sense, Father. And is he actually seeing him as he's praying at this moment? No. And then he goes on to say, for the words that you gave me, I've given them, they've received them and accepted them, and that they understand I've come forth from your presence, and they've believed and convinced that you did send me, and I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they belong to you. All things are mine, and they are yours. All things that are yours belong to me, and I'm glorified through them. And now I am no longer to be still in this world, but I am coming to you. So, Holy Father, keep your name in the knowledge of yourself to those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept and preserved them in your name. Those you've given me, I've guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things that while I'm still in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep them and protect them from the evil one, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So sanctify them. Make them holy and separate them by the truth. Your word is truth. For just as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on behalf, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. Neither for these alone do I pray, but for all those who will ever come to believe in me through their word and teaching. And it goes on for another number of verses. But what do you hear as you have that prayer being uttered by Jesus, and John is writing this down as he hears Jesus pray? Obviously, Jesus at that moment is praying publicly. And what is amazing to me, and I hear in this, is that the Bible says that Jesus prayed ultimately for you and I. You and I, everyone who was ever to come to him in the days that came before he returned to the earth. And so I want to remind you then, later on that same evening, after John records this prayer, Matthew records the time when he and the several disciples went with Jesus because he went out into the garden to pray. And Matthew 26 and verse 39 says, "And going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and he prayed, 'Father, if it be possible, let this will.'" And then again for a second time, Jesus went away, verse 42, and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." What do you hear in that? He's talking to his Father as you and I would be able to talk to our Father and to Jesus. So how do you and I look away today? How is it that we can have meaningful prayer, even as Jesus obviously was having meaningful prayer with his Father? Well, I think there's some very practical instructions. And if you think back to the very first sermon that Jesus ever gave, that Matthew recorded in chapters 5, 6, and 7, and he said this when it came to prayer. He said, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your house, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will" what? "He will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so when you pray, and there is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, simply say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." So Jesus was outlining to the Jewish people, the listeners of his day, just talk to the Father. Don't have to have heaps of phrases. You don't have to be seen in public. In fact, what I find, and you probably find, is when you go and you pray privately and quietly, you're able to be more focused. There's no other distractions. There's nobody you have to impress. You're just talking to Jesus. Jesus later said, and we have this recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 7, when he's talking about prayer, he simply says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, what? It will be opened." And then he goes on in verse 11 of the same chapter, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And so again, the reality is, this is not trying to get to a God in a certain manner, doing certain things to please him and get his attention and everything. He's just saying, just talk. And so when we're looking away to Jesus, it's not about trying to impress him. It's just have a talk. Take time and just enjoy his presence and request the things that are necessary and talk about the things that you're concerned about and let him have an interaction with you. We can't see him, but we certainly can be in his presence as we're praying. And then John records the following. This is John's Jesus' brother. And this is the confidence that we have toward Jesus in 1 John 5, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Do you hear what that is? Down to earth, living, talking about the things. Lord, I'm concerned about things, and I believe it's part of where your will is concerned. Now, it's interesting because James actually goes a step further in giving some specific details about things of request. And he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and I think that's wisdom in any spectrum, physical, mental, emotional, but certainly spiritual wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Part of asking in faith is, Jesus, I'm looking away to you, and this is what I want to talk to you about. This is what my requests are. And you believe that Jesus is hearing and will answer. Remember when Jesus was talking about being the vine and we are the branches, he said twice, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, for the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So again, as we look away to Jesus, so much of the reality comes out of prayer. John 14 and verse 6 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And so not only do we have Jesus that we can look away to and the Heavenly Father, but we literally have a helper that we have, the comforter, the sustainer. And what's interesting is if you remember the scripture that talks about the fact that even the Holy Spirit intercedes with us in something that's even deeper than words, in groans that's so much deeper. And so this whole idea of looking away to Jesus in prayer should just continue to stir you deeply. And John records the following things. Again, Jesus reiterating, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And then many of us know the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church. In this first letter, he simply said, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so even the giving thanks is part of praying. Who are you talking to? Who are you looking away to? Yes, we thank people around us, but in the midst of all we're going through, who do we thank? We thank Jesus Christ. We're looking away to him in the midst of all the circumstances, and we thank him for his provision. Now, we're not necessarily, oh, I thank you that I'm going through such pain right now, et cetera, et cetera, but we're thanking him in the midst of all of this because we do believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So what do I propose to you for this week? I propose to you that as you're looking away to Jesus, you really concentrate on praying. I don't know where you are in your prayer life in the midst of all of this pandemic and the isolation and the feelings of being overwhelmed or alone, but I would encourage you this week to really thank Jesus that he's heard your prayer. Really trust him that he will answer that prayer in the time and manner that is best for you. And also for those whom you are praying for. I want to end with a little song that is very familiar, and many of you sing this, I'm sure, quite often. Written by Joseph Scriven. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. So, Father, as we conclude this time together now, we just thank you that we have your Son. And my prayer is that for each and every person who loves you, that they'll look away to Jesus more than ever this week in their prayer time, in their thought life, in just their time of devotion, meditation, and remind them that you are a great God doing great things. Jesus, remind them that you continue to sit at your Father's right hand and intercede for every one of us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the comfort that you are, the sustainer and the advocate that you are in our lives. And so by faith, we continue to look away beyond simply the cares and issues and dilemmas of this world, because we're looking to a place where there is a hope and a future that is far bigger and eternal in its destiny. We thank you now in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. And amen.